L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Henderson from William House, host and creator of the podcast, and this is episode 40, Houselessness and Hatred. In this episode, we're going to explore one of the common denominator about houselessness that is here in Los Angeles and here in Santa Cruz, that people despise the unhoused and they work their efforts to criminalize the unhoused. In effort for the unhoused in that community, they had to fight just like in Los Angeles, and they had to put an injunction on San Lorenzo Park, which is reminiscent of Echo Park. So join us this episode to learning how the hatred is widespread, just as the COVID-19 and the way of dealing with houselessness and the treatment of the house. This is Theo Henderson from Weedy and House. We're here out in Santa Cruz, and we are here in a park like where I used to be in Echo Park, Los Angeles. Lorenzo Park is similar to that due to COVID-19. We have the same kind of places like here. And in COVID-19, we are also sheltering in place. So, thank you. Thank you. Many people appreciate that term instead of just calling homeless or bums or whatever. So, can I get your perspective? Thank you, please. Thank you. Yeah, sure. All right. You have a very lovely home. You keep it up, obviously. It's very, you know, because I've lived in Los Angeles, so I do know the fact that how neat it is, how tough it is. Hi, this is Theo Henderson from Weedy and House. What's your name, ma'am?
My name's Michelle Irway.
Oh, you remind me of my library teacher when I went to high school. The glasses.
I've been told I was a librarian.
Yeah, you look like it. Very, 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 very superstar. Okay, this is Theo Henderson from Weedy and House, and I'm interviewing a resident here in Santa Cruz. So tell us how long you've been here.
I'm good people. Let me think. Probably 8 months.
Oh, wow.
About?
What got you coming to here instead of somewhere else, like under
a field? A bunch of my friends and I originally started, you remember where Tent City was?
Yeah.
Okay, we were Tent City before they came.
Oh, really?
And they moved us out and moved Tent City in.
Damn.
And they told us to go up to the other side of the bridge.
Oh, man.
That didn't last long. Back over here we came.
Yeah. So how are you guys, because COVID-19, are they bothering you guys or leaving you guys alone? Because I noticed.
Well.
Good, good, good. Because I see you guys got your tents up. Like in L.A., they're starting to tell people to take their tents down. I was in Santa Barbara yesterday, and they were bothering the guys that were out in the park and told them they couldn't have their tents up. So that's crazy.
No, they're leaving us alone, definitely.
Who? So what got you out here in, on the streets anyway?
Medical problems.
Oh, like most people.
Pennsylvania, New York, on the border.
Oh, really?
And I moved out here 8 years ago.
The city of brotherly love. Is it true they got the Rocky statue there?
Yes.
Now I gotta ask another question. No offense to pizza. What's up with the Philly cheesesteaks? Is it really good as they say it is?
They're happening.
So what made you leave there to come to here then?
A friend called me and wanted me to come out. Mm-hmm. And he lived in Oakley. Well, that did not work out at all, so I went on my own to...
White House.
Oh, come on. The name of that town?
Yeah.
North of here, I forget. Mm-hmm. I was there for 6 months, and then I moved here.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. So, you know, is it much safer here than where with Oakley?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
It's up... The town I'm trying to think of. I can't think of it. Why can't I think of it? I don't know. Irrelevant.
Well, at least it's safer here.
Yeah.
So what are you planning with the COVID-19? Are they offering you guys in your hotels a project room key out here or all?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
Uh-huh. But you got to be, two medical problems will get you in quick. And I've got those two medical problems, but they haven't housed me yet.
Oh, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. They should have you guys out there.
Yeah, they should.
So would you prefer a shelter or a hotel room key?
I'd rather be outside.
I'd rather be outside. Why?
I run my own show here. Mm-hmm. I'm not told what I have to do.
That's
what I can and cannot do.
There it is.
I can't have visitors. Oh, you're crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got a curfew and all that kind of nonsense. Yeah.
Well, we have a curfew now too. COVID's back in.
Oh yeah, well. Yeah. Prior to that, I'm sure you wouldn't want any other curfew besides COVID.
Yeah, no, I don't stay out late anyway.
Gotta have a sleep. Yeah, that's very true. So this is Theo Henderson from Weedian House. I really thank you for your time. And I wanted just because we're going to probably be out here creating a power up like what we do in Los Angeles. Uh-huh. Probably helping people charge their phones. I'm going to bring a generator
and
bring next time some hand sanitizers. And just to be able, you know, to connect you guys with the LA, with here, mm-hmm. in a way, because we all are connected. We all have a similarity. So I would love to come back and talk with you again. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. This is Theo Henderson from Weedian House. I thank you all for listening, and may we again meet in the light of understanding. Henderson from Weedian House, and we are here in Santa Cruz interviewing some
at the Great San Lorenzo Park.
At the Great San Lorenzo Park.
Colony.
So this is like really a community. I noticed everyone's being very careful and beautiful and very kind. So let's get on the camera. What's your name, ma'am?
My name is Noelle.
Noelle? What's your name, sir? All right. And Noelle, how long have you been out here?
I'm born a triplet.
Oh, wow.
On our dad's birthday.
Oh, wow.
From Warner Robins Air Force Base, Georgia.
Okay.
And
what got you out here?
Santa Cruz, California, 2 years and 3 quarters I came to for fun, to retire from caregiving.
Oh, wow, you're a caregiver. That's cool.
So you came out here, and what happened? What made you want to live in San Lorenzo? Because you guys are...
I'm not actually living... I'm visiting.
Okay.
my beautiful neighbor Adama from Senegal. Mm-hmm. We are good friends, okay. And like for instance, God, we are good friends and almost we are family.
Yeah.
So we did some, I mean, I did my spit test a long time ago, and mm-hmm. I know I'm family with him, mm-hmm. so.
Okay.
So what can you tell us about the community here? What's going on here?
I think the most beautiful thing I can say about everybody is, do you see how peaceful?
Mm-hmm.
I come back and check on it from time to time, and I notice the most gorgeous community making a cohesive sense. Always with, I think the ducks are leading it, personally.
Mm-hmm.
Not a problem do I ever encounter.
Okay. See, so it goes to show you that this community here looks out for one another and has a sense of peace instead of the idea of a notion of violence.
When I was a newspaper reporter, mm-hmm. I traveled our America
mm-hmm.
asking people of homeless qualities, hobos, what was needed. This is an example, actually, in Santa Cruz, of what folks were actually talking about all across the nation. We're getting it here.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. You gave us an insight about what's going on here. We're going to go mill around a little bit. And I thank you very much. And I thank you for your time. This is Theo Henderson from We Didn't House. And I thank you all for listening. And let us again meet in the light of understanding in Santa Cruz. Santa Cruz, meeting up with different residents here in the area.
Solomon,
nice to meet you. Tell us a little bit about, you was mentioning that you you were a little bit busy. What's going on? You said you were hungry.
Oh, yes, I'm homeless, and I'm from Michigan. So
how did you get out here?
I was in Oregon, and then with a friend from high school from Salem. And then I didn't want to go back to Michigan because, like, the snow was coming up. So I ended up loving this place, and I just stayed. And I love the people here, and I kind of, like, some type of work was not steady. And since COVID-19 happened, too, it's kind of messed up everything. And so, but I love the people here. I love everybody. Since I just met you, I love you. I love you.
Thank you.
The system helped me out in California. They helped me out with money, and
would you like to be in the hotel because the weather is getting a little colder, or would you want your own place to stay?
Well, my case manager told me that if I pay it, she'll reimburse me like every day. Mm-hmm. So I was working for the street team, so I was cleaning.
What did you do?
Cleaning up the beach and everybody, but like today I was just like, it was so cold. I was just like, I'm gonna want to get out of here. So I got to talk to Leland. He's a great man, great team, great people, street team, Detroit. I mean, not Detroit street team, but downtown street team. Beautiful people.
I'm going to ask you, because I noticed there's a lot of tents they have up in Los Angeles. They are cracking down on that. They are saying, like, in fact, in Santa Barbara, they told them that they couldn't have their tents up. So does the police come out here?
Yeah, you see them, like, drive down the street sometimes, but not too much lately. Okay. But I was staying down with the bench. Mm-hmm. I was staying down there. It was nice. It was like a village. Oh. And it was very beautiful.
Why did you leave?
Well, all the people left. Mm-hmm. Like the main people left. So, because they were saying that it was going to rain down there and stuff like that. It was going to be flooded.
Oh, okay.
So, that's what they shut it down. Okay. Yeah. And then they say you go to Armory, you go, you know, some, but it's like hard, too right? many people there.
Yeah.
So,
especially with COVID-19.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then, so, I felt like, I feel like it's just coming right here, and I'm having a good time, but sometimes, like, I don't know, I had a good friend here, but, and then it's hard to charge up your phone over, yeah, like, yeah. So it's sometimes she's not there in the office, sometimes she's not, and then I had a good friend that, she had her phone there, and I'm like, I'd be back in 15 minutes, right? And I'm like, it take 3 hours. Like, I was sitting there for 3 hours, and she didn't come back. And then she was like, you take my phone? I'm like, no, I got a Galaxy. So why didn't I take your phone for? But because you're a good friend of me. So it gets hard because I believe in my Lord, you know what I'm saying? I believe in, I'm a Jesus Christ guy. And sometimes it gets super cold, so I was like, one day, I didn't go to the street team, I didn't call him, I didn't call my boss. I was kind of messed up. So I was going to go to, I thought about going to Colorado Springs. So I thought about going there and just starting a new life here. Colorado Springs, you know what I'm talking about. So I thought about going there. Like, I went there one day. But it was just passed through to go to Vegas. So I thought about going there. But I love it here. I love Santa Cruz. Okay. It's my blessing. I love it here. It's just getting too much out of control. I was here. I came here November 15th last year. So I've been here a year, and I love this place. I never talk bad, and thank you for talking.
Thank you for having us. This is Theo Henderson from Weedian House, and we're out and about in Santa Cruz, and there'll be more to follow, and let's meet in the light of understanding. Thank you very much for your time.
A supporter has donated a 2008 Honda. It runs and can provide our unhoused neighbors who need a new ride. It's small check, but needs to be registered. If any of our unhoused neighbors are interested, please contact Theo at weedtheunhoused@gmail.com. Freedom Ride for Housing starts on January 18th at 10 o'clock. The ride starts at LA Can, and that is 838 East 6th Street downtown.
Theo Henderson, and this is Unhoused News. On January 18th, Services Next Week is having a blockade, uplifting and honoring the voices of unhoused people and honoring Dr. Martin Luther King. If you're interested in joining the blockade, seek out the Services Next Week coalition. In Santa Cruz, California, the judge issued a temporary injunction after a heated standoff between unhoused activists and residents and the police and the city. The temporary injunction will hold out until January 6, 2021, and at which time the unhoused lawyers will extend and ask for a permanent injunction to stop the aggressive sweeps. In Orange County, more unhoused have died last year than any other year, largely due to COVID-19 as well as inhumane conditions. This is Theo Henderson. This is the editorial that closed out the unhoused news. One of the things that I have been beset with is the outpouring of support and the eagerness to join in or and try to help make the difference in a unique way from people that ring well. But I also have gotten some people that have kind of missed the gist of the meaning of Booty Unhoused and why it is organized and shaped the way it is. Too often, people are used to mainstream media from the house perspective, and they expect that with the unhoused perspective. But here's the problem with that. We're unhoused. we have a different perspective. And when you walk into this media, it is your responsibility to understand and respect it. It's just like, for example, if I was to go to your house unannounced, with all kind of expectations of what you should do to me unannounced, then of course there's going to be some irritation and there's going to be some conflict. The second thing I have to state and have to take the time to educate the people that are listening, I've heard comments ranging from it's too long, it's too powerful, people need a break. And I submit to you that Game of Thrones is a long series that's maybe an hour or two. Discovery Channel have over 5 hours of videos of animals. They have other mediums that people do. And usually when they use those mediums, they use the same mediums what they do if they have to go to the bathroom. They put it on pause. They take a break and go and see it. And it kind of reeks of house privilege. Why is it that unhoused people have to make our existence much more sustainable and palatable to you? Why is it that we have to minimize our burdens of logging, going so far places, or walking far places, because you don't want to see that, because it's going too long, it's not against your time constraints. This is not McDonald's, this is not Burger King, you can have it your way. In order for you just to get into our world and understand our story, you have to get the unvarnished truth of it. Many people have tried to coddle and model their mediums to your sensibilities, and they have had varying successes. I make no apologies if I don't get the million subscribers. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here for people that are going to be looking at this and learning about the issues of unhoused, that are going to take the time and really put the investment into understanding those issues. And those issues require some commitment. It's not a passing fancy. It's not a drive-by kind of enterprise. So for the mainstream media that, like I had once told me that was so long, this is your issue. I am not whoever you are. I'm not trying to appeal to those channels. I'm trying to appeal for people that are going to make a change and want to learn about it. People who are entrenched in their beliefs about houselessness, what may never get to there. But there is a future there where the future generation may enjoy this lengthier process than the popcorn obsession of media coverage that it seems to override our society today. So there you have it. This is Theo Henderson for We Unhoused. If you have made it this far and learning about unhoused people, thank you. If you needed a break, thank you. Take a break and come back, because the stories for unhoused people is 24/7. It is not after commercial break, and it's certainly not for a house sensibilities. I hope we've met in the light of understanding this issue.
This is Theo Henderson from We In House. I'm here in Santa Cruz with a famous Food Not Bombs. We have one in Los Angeles, but here's one in Santa Cruz, and we have one of the founding of one of the members here, and he's going to introduce himself.
Hello, my name is Emmy Lee Ano Gomez. Emiliano Gomez. Emmy or Emmy Lee is fine. Play with my name however you feel.
My question is, my first question, I should say, is how did you get started with Food Not Bombs out here?
So, quick backstory. I moved up to Washington from Gilroy a couple years back. And what I noticed when I was up there, I got involved in community matters and stuff like that, volunteering, just doing like, just putting myself out there. And I noticed doors started opening for me. People were inviting me to their homes. I was making the best friends, and it was just glorious. I came back down to California. I was living with my parents, and I'm sure as many of us know, that's not always the most ideal situation. So after taking off from my parents' house, I decided to come to Santa Cruz because also mushrooms were decriminalized. Seems like a good big step in progression. So I came out here, and I was living out of my car, and I saw Food Not Bombs, and I already knew the method of get involved in community matters. You'll meet cool people. Doors will open. Opportunities will just be attracted your way. And that's the attitude I kept the whole time. And I've been here since about August. I've been one of the people that has been here the most since then. And it's been very fulfilling, overwhelming at the same time, but fulfilling and recharging and restorative.
So what does Food Not Bombs do?
So pretty much we feed people. We feed people when we're trying to hang out. I don't necessarily come here to work. I just come here to feed people, spread the abundance that we have available to us. And whenever we can, we'll play music, sing, dance, party, fucking yell nice things into the air. Because there's already plenty of other stuff going on.
Indeed.
Have you had any police intervention or anyone that didn't like you guys here?
Yeah, some people come by. One guy told me we were enabling the homeless situation, saying, I have a better name, jobs, not food. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, that's an example of someone that is in a certain way of thinking, like, because no one will, do you like the idea of having to have a job with a boss in a place that you got to go to survive? I don't like that.
But in my previous episode in Oxnard, these people have jobs and they're still not able to eat. So what is he talking about?
That's what I'm saying. You could have a job that doesn't necessarily mean you're eating good or you have a roof over your head. Dude, you can't really have just a cool job and pay rent and be, like, just well off. Like, well off. Mm-hmm. We're not really exactly set up to thrive. So, yeah, there are people that come, but it kind of shows their ideology and how... I'm no one to say that someone's ideology is wrong or anything, but, you know, inherently it seems pretty corrupt.
What about the police? Do they try to shut you down? I know that they tried to in Los Angeles, but what about here?
So we used to be in the lot across the street. But that lot had a certain character buildup.
What do you mean by that?
Like, it was a chaotic scene a lot of the times, or more often than we would have liked. So they moved us from that lot, or they shut down that lot, and then we were pretty much forced to come over here. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things, it's a blessing in disguise, because the character of this lot is a lot cooler, calmer, collected, collaborative, cohesified. Mm-hmm. So it works a lot better. That's the one time that the police or the city moved us. Besides that, cops will come by and, you know, cops are weird. Like, if you try to talk to them like humans, a lot of times, like you know, where it makes sense. Like, hey, man, what's the problem here? Let me know. They're like, there's a certain attitude that they have of functioning that is, it doesn't really work so great. But, nah, nothing big with cops, at least that as far as, like, harassing people goes around here. I think it's because we're here, possibly.
Oh, probably, because, like I said, that's a unique... I'm sure Unhoused have some stories like the gentleman over there. So, yeah, okay, which is interesting. Which it's good that you guys have a mellowing kind of calm here. But so there's... basically, how long is this going on? From what time to what time?
Every day from 1 to 4, we're serving food. We'll come a little bit earlier to set up, and we'll leave a little later out of time. But 1 to 4 is a guaranteed window of time every day.
Is it a food specific? Is it for vegetarians or for carnivores? What's it about?
Well, one of the principles of Food Not Bombs is that we guarantee vegan and vegetarian meals. That doesn't necessarily mean that we're only serving that. Because, you know, we get donations from everywhere. People donate hot dogs, meat, chicken, whatever it might be. So it's kind of one of those things. Whatever we got is what we got, and we'll give out. many of these people do look forward to having meat. So, yeah, we serve everything, but vegan and vegetarian is what we try to produce.
Kind of like the Los Angeles Hippie Kitchen. They kind of do something similar. Vegetarians, but, you know, if you got meat, you got over.
I've been vegan a while, so when I see meat, I'm like, I'm almost inclined to throw it away. But it's one of those things. Hey, if you got it, fuck it.
Well, thank you very much, Amy, for your perspective and basically your service out here. I'm going to mill about. Is it okay if I interview a few of the people over here, the guests?
Yeah, I already let them know. You probably maybe go over there and talk to people.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Thank you for paving the way for me. This is Theo Henderson from Weedy and House, and we're here with Food Not Bombs in Santa Cruz on Front and Laurel. They feed from 1 to 4. So if you have or know anybody that's in need of food or wants to donate, you can stop by and meet Emmy, and he will probably direct you to the appropriate response.
Honestly, come get a meal. Do your grocery shopping here first. There's no need to go consume at the grocery stores. And we have the best type of produce, fruits, bread forever, like, you know, staples in people's diets. So
outstanding. This is Theo Henderson. So here we go, meeting us in the light of understanding. Thank you very much. Founding members, Food Not Bombs. Let's take it away from him.
Yeah. I'm Keith McHenry. I helped start Food Not Bombs in 1980, and I've been feeding people on the streets for that amount of time. I've also lived on the streets a lot myself too, so I'm like pretty familiar with what's, you know, the survival of living on the streets. And right now, I think we're more concerned that the numbers of people going to join us on the streets is going to get huge. You know, what are they saying? Princeton eviction project saying that there's over 40 million Americans facing eviction this winter. We're already seeing an increased number of people out here on the streets. And the thing is that there's enough housing for everybody if they just let people move into housing, but they're controlling it for real estate speculation purposes. And if you look here, this lot here is going to be luxury condos.
What?
That lot over there, all the way to the next cross street and next bridge, luxury condos. Luxury condos out on Branza Forte, but there is nothing for people living outside. And so they're like sort of just pushing people to the margins, and they got the most inhuman. There's millions of dollars. They just announced they got like another $10 million for a housing first thing again. And it's mainly paying salaries. There's no evidence of an actual house being bought or a building being built. And that's just outrageous.
Do you think NIMBYism plays a part in it too? Because where are you guys going to go after this? Because NIMBYism seems to be a major element in when we go to Los Angeles. What about here?
Yeah, well, this actually is a miniature version of redlining, what they used to call where the banks draw a red line on the map.
Right.
And so they let this area go to seed so that the developers could pick up the land real cheap and then build these luxury condos. And the city works with them, and the county works with them. Mm-hmm. They're not even from here. And I'm hearing this from the National Union of the Homeless when we're on those meetings. You'll hear, like, from Rochester Union of the Homeless that they won't let homeless people downtown because it's all, like, new condos. Now, my first wife is from Rochester. I've been there a lot. Who would buy a million-dollar studio apartment over in downtown Rochester? You know? Mm-hmm. It's like a, you know, maybe it's okay, but it's just not where you would think. And then we were at the National Union of the Homeless training in Hell's Kitchen in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. tall, tall buildings, empty. It's like luxury apartment for sale on the roof, like, and then people living in blue tarps all around the base. So that, you know, basically, I think that there's a book called Homewrecker, and it talks about how they just made so much money in the last foreclosure crisis that they just had to dump it into something, so they just build luxury condos, and they don't have any care about people living outside. We can't get people into hotels. We can't. In fact, I had a friend that came here. We would call every day for a hotel for him because he had a heart failure and he had a stroke. And he was 69. So he didn't qualify for a hotel for months. He had a CPAP machine. Eventually, I got him into a church where he could plug it into the wall. Mm-hmm. His name is Bob Reese. Mm-hmm. And then he's riding his bike off to do something. He has another stroke, hits his head on the bridge and dies.
Oh my God, so that's horrible.
We're having our memorial here on the shortest day of the year, longest night of the year, December 21st here. It's over 70 some people have died on the streets of Santa Cruz.
33% increase from last year.
Oh. Yeah, it's just, so this is Alicia Cool. She's the president of the Santa Cruz Union of the Homeless.
Okay.
And so we are working together. You can see the Santa Cruz Union of the Homeless banner here. This is called the Santa Cruz Homeless Union COVID Relief Center.
Mm-hmm.
We set up on the 14th of March when we learned that none of the other programs were going to be open because they were indoors and they had to be shut down because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, we set up. We kind of thought, well, maybe a month or something like that. Now it's 284 days we've been out here. Mm-hmm. And we were over there, but they evicted us from over there.
Why?
They said they're going to put a bunch of tractors in there to clean the levee, but they never did. Mm-hmm. So then friends of ours came and took their fence and gave it back to them, stacked it up over at the police station. They kicked us out of where we were for years, down by the post office. They had to sweep all the unhoused people out. Right after the, you know, when the CDC had said you can't be doing sweeps.
Right.
And then they banned us, and then they forced us from one place to another. So, you know, we've held this place between over there and over here. We must have been out here about 200 days in these two parking lots.
A minimum of at least 100 people, if not more. Way more.
Yeah, we're just starting. It's incredible the amount of food that we're going through. It's all volunteer. Everybody's volunteer. We do clothing. We're getting tarps, tents. The government comes and takes everybody's survival gear, throws it away. We buy more and get donations from the community, give it back to them. And then you can see that we put the 6-foot marks on here to try to keep the social distancing. We hand out masks to people. Today we had the problems because the van door fell off and I had to go repair it. But normally we have water and hand washing station here.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're like just struggling. And then Food Not Bombs is struggling all over the country with this kind of stuff. In fact, all over the world. I mean, we're having problems like in Malaysia, Philippines, India. Bulgaria has gone through huge amounts of problems. South Africa is always having a new problem. Same thing in Nigeria. It's crazy, man. So Food Not Bombs all over the world dealing with the pandemic.
Okay.
But I think the U.S. is where we're having a lot of the most problems. You know?
It's one of the last places, too, in our communities that people can get food on a daily basis. Like, you could rely on Food Not Bombs and come and be guaranteed a meal.
And then we're also talking about seizing buildings and stuff like that because it's getting out of control. If they're going to have, like, a lot more, you know, they say there's, 2,000 people living outside in Santa Cruz? The reality is there's probably 4,000 because I did the last one in 2017. The rain was so hardcore, and I know where people live, and I couldn't find people. Yeah, that point in time is just horrible because, and I think that everybody knows that it's not. See, the thing is, I've been doing this, like I say, 41 years.
Mm-hmm.
So when I remember that I was involved in that census in 1990 where they were trying to make a census for homeless people because it had never been done.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so it got, that number was 750,000 homeless Americans in that year. Then when they went to this point in time count, which actually started to happen when the housing foreclosure crisis started, right, in 2007. Uh-huh. Suddenly the numbers dropped to 500,000. So 250,000 less unhoused people during and after a housing foreclosure crisis that put about at least 5 million people onto the streets. So how does it go down? Then HUD's count of children say that there's 2 million people, the unhoused children, but 500,000 total unhoused people. So no one knows what they're talking about. And we can't get charging stations in this town. We're banned from renting portable toilets. We tried that. The city come and take our toilets. We set up a transitional camp. The cops came in, took everything. It's like a total gentrification war here. Mm-hmm. And this is like kind of where, you know, Google and Facebook and all that, this is their playground, and that's what they're hoping to make a ton of money on.
Oh, I see. Well, thank you very much. Thank you. Now I'm going to shift over to...
Alicia.
Now I can give you the attention that that needs to be.
Thank you.
We're going to talk a little bit more. We're going to unpack a little bit more about this. Let's start off from the top. Let's introduce yourself formally here.
Sure. My name's Alicia Cool. I'm the president of the Santa Cruz chapter of the California Homeless Union, and we are a national union of the homeless.
So, listen, how long have you been holding this position?
About 2 years now.
I could imagine that it's been their difficulty. Unfortunately, as like you and anybody that deals with the houselessness, you get your fair share of detractors and NIMBYism. How do you handle it?
Well, I do get a lot of personal attacks, both online, from people saying everything from attacking myself, my children. I'm unhoused myself, so I live in an RV. I've received parking tickets and enforcement from the police that's just uncalled for. I've been targeted by people that are very much NIMBYs. And I've handled that by keeping my head up, organizing, working within my community. And that just keeps me going.
Well, let's look at this, like, because, like, you're not the first family that I've interviewed that are unhoused living in an automobile. How is it different from living in an automobile than living into a place, a secure place?
Well, in some respects, it's the same, and in some respects, it's different. Like, we're a family just trying to live our lives. We do very much the same things ordinary families do. My daughter is homeschooled right now because of COVID. We have to have a safe place to cook meals, shower. My kids play just ordinarily. I have toddlers, so they're always, you know, messing with each other, yelling and screaming. So it's very much the same in that respect. It's not the same in the respect that we don't have a safe place to park. We're targeted by people driving past, yelling and screaming, you know, get out of our town. You don't belong here. We don't feel safe a lot of times. We have a lack of space, a lack of storage, things like that.
When you mentioned something on homeschooling, and I know that I interviewed another resident that has her children at homeschooled, and that she's telling about the lack of ability of having Wi-Fi and things to be able to do the work. Are you facing these things being unhoused in a car?
Yeah, it's definitely difficult because we don't have regular power and you can't run your generator all over the place. Mm-hmm. So basically we have to run our vehicle engine to keep our power going. Mm-hmm. That runs a lot of gas. Mm-hmm. We don't have regular access to those things. We can't just plug in a printer and print out something and then scan it back to the teacher. So these are all challenges.
Because that's another good question, because I think when I see these YouTube videos about lambasting parents about their kids and things, this is something that they don't talk about. This is something that they don't show any kind of empathy or compassion for. I'm a former educator, and if I had a student like this, what would be the way for me to help you to make sure your child succeeds?
Well, I'm working with my school right now to send us a Wi-Fi hotspot that works specifically with the school. But as far as power and stuff like charging stations, you know, campgrounds that are like lower discounted rates so we had a safe place to go and plug in, you know, anything like that. Right now, our teacher's working with us and letting us take pictures on our phone of like work samples and send them to her. Mm-hmm. So we've had to do a lot of workarounds.
What other ways to help? Because, like, for example, Food Not Bombs come on a regular basis, but I'm sure that the schools can help because a lot of the food that they throw away Would you guys be willing to, is that a solution, or what things do you think would be helpful?
Yeah, food is always helpful. Anytime that we can save food that's going to be thrown away and you put it back into the community is always helpful. I know we have partners that work with us here that go to like Gray Bears and stuff like that and sort through a lot of food that's going to be thrown away and pick out what's good so that we don't have to waste it. And so it very much takes an entire community, and that's always helpful.
You know, I have to confess something, too. As you probably know, this is the holiday season coming up. And one of the things that really made a reaction for me was there was a posting about someone saying, don't give kids toys. Just give them gift cards and gift cards because they have nowhere to store it. But you have infant children that likes Christmas and wants the holidays, too. Is that a little bit, because for me, that kind of is troublesome because all kids want to experience the same things, housed or unhoused. Is that a fair thing to do?
No, I don't really think that's a fair thing to do. Children are children, and all across the board, they want to experience the same things. And that's like a tradition of growing up and opening a present.
Yeah.
And there's a joy in that. So I think that kids need that. That's part of growing up. Those are the good things that we live for. These are the moments. Like, why live if you can't have some good stuff?
And that's what I was really bothered by, because it's like, you know, you're squashing someone's hope. You know, that could be able to keep them going for a moment in time when they have a hard time dealing with the situation. So, you know, especially with kids,
yep.
You know, they're going to be noticing if they're going to school or seeing on the TV that everyone else is getting things and you're just telling them, just give them a gift card. That's just kind of, you know,
you
it's just
on something too. Yeah. See, I'm a child of the group home and foster care system.
Oh, excellent.
And so you just touched on something that kind of made me think. I posted something recently about growing up feeling like you're a person that the community and even your parents sometimes don't, you feel uncared for.
Yeah. Okay.
You feel different.
Okay.
That if you grow up feeling like that, that could actually change who your life,
yeah.
Who you are.
Yeah.
What happens is it gets into your spirit and it becomes part of your personality and your identity. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to do that to children very early on.
Thank you.
That changes who you grow up to be and how you look at the world. And if we can avoid doing that, I think we should.
I'm totally in agreement with that. Really, that's what I was reaching for, because I thought about it. And I said, man, we've basically just created a new system of miserable people that don't find any joy in life.
Mm-hmm.
And because we just worried about because they have no place to store in a shelter. I'm like, you know what? Maybe we need to really think about it. It's not about the kids and the families that's the problem. Maybe we are the problem and these shelters are the problem. In order for these people to get some a humane care, we're going to have to start dealing with humanely. Many times people have this belief system, it's not going to work. We should just grit our teeth and just have shelters. We should just grit our teeth and just accept what's given to us. And I don't agree with that. What's your thought?
I don't agree with that either. I definitely don't agree with that. I think that we need dignified solutions, and I myself am not willing to take something less than I deserve, less than dignified.
Yeah.
I think we straight up need dignified solutions. Nothing else is going to work. I also think that across the board, cities and counties need to be working with impacted individuals,
mm-hmm.
because what they're doing is they're making decisions for people instead of with them.
Absolutely.
And until they start working with people and really coming to the table and allowing vulnerable people to sit at the table with them and talk about these solutions, they are not going to come up with something successful.
Absolutely.
I keep seeing fail after fail after fail, and that's part of the reason why, if not the main reason.
Because you stated you're unhoused at the moment, has COVID-19 been a little easier for you to deal with or difficult, especially with dealing with kids? Talk a little bit about that.
Well, for me, it's super difficult all the way around, because not only do I, you know, work with volunteer organizations and with the homeless union, but I actually work in San Jose part-time as a shelter manager.
Oh, okay.
And they're talking about now getting people who have positive COVID-19. And
oh, really?
It's an emergency interim housing project in which people are only supposed to stay there for 60 days. But right now we're not starting their time because we know that there's nowhere for people to navigate to. So it's starting to get hectic. I do have a family. I have kids. It's scary for me because I'm torn between serving my community, being safe, and having a job,
mm-hmm.
and trying not to get COVID-19.
Absolutely. So you basically just juggling.
So, yeah, there's all that. Yeah, on my mind all the time.
Exactly. And then here comes some NIMBY that's sitting on this behind talking about how people are not working or they don't want this and that. But here you are juggling this.
Why I got my nails done or something.
My favorite, they always, he's got a cell phone. Yeah. Why does he got a cell phone?
You know, how does she have two cars?
Yeah. Exactly.
You got two cars, but you can't afford 5Gs in rent?
Exactly.
What's wrong with you?
Exactly. So here's the thing that's what I wanted to do. So, Ms. Cole, you have given me a left. Is it okay? Because I was thinking about bringing, because we have a power-up station in Los Angeles. I thought about getting a generator power-up and maybe one day when I come back around, have a power-up to help the unhoused charge their phones. Is that a good solution?
Yeah, that's a good solution. We always need that. People are always trying to find, I've even seen people on the power poles, somehow found a way to plug in. And so it's definitely an issue here, so that's helpful.
Oh, cool. So is it city council or police that work together in order for you to make you guys difficulty? So in Los Angeles, we got the city council members and the NIMBYs as well as the police. They work together. So how does this work?
A couple things going on here. It's our city manager is kind of and our city attorney is directing our city council in many ways. So it's the city manager, city attorney, city council.
Okay.
And then we have a couple of hate groups that are Santa Cruz neighbors, West Side neighbors, things like that are we need to get these homeless people off our streets. Anything helpful to them is enabling, things like that. So we have kind of a mixture. And what happens is they feed each other.
Yes, I see. Well, that's pretty much the same kind of similar kind of veracity in Los Angeles. And one of the things is we get more notice of about this here in Santa Cruz, a little more putting them on the map. Maybe they'll be more reluctant to be able to targeting unhoused people, which is why I did want Woody Unhoused. So is there anything else that I miss?
No, that we've been working really hard. We work here with educating our community. I've been working with nursing teachers. We're getting ready to work with high school students. I'm really trying to tackle this too on all fronts, especially with our youth and with people so they feel comfortable. I've been hearing unhoused people are afraid to even go seek medical care.
Yes, very true.
The way that they're treated at the hospital. So that's another aspect. So I'm really trying to tackle all fronts of this, and it's very much a crisis that we should all, be involved in, because this is a public health and safety emergency and anybody could become homeless.
Absolutely. And well said. This is Theo Henderson from Media House. We're here in Santa Cruz, and I thank you all for listening, and may we again meet in the light of understanding. Episode 37, showing how we treat one another, even in the hardest of times. The pandemic has shown us what we really think of one another as human beings. Though they have a statement here of Black Lives Matter and of people here that have perished here during the protests, to me it seems like it's just empty words without action. It's very difficult when you have the NIMBYs around that advocate for people that are being on the street as being mentally ill criminals or people that coming in from out of state. So as you can see, this is wonderful as a monument, but if you don't put any action behind the words, then just that's all it is. It's just a bunch of names and the war on gentrification, anti-unhoused sentiment, and police brutality. This is Theo Henderson from Weedy and House, and I thank you all for listening, and may we again meet in the light of understanding.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.